This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Yesterday we used to rock the show. I laced the track, you locked the flow. So far from hanging on the block of dough. Notorious, they got to know that life ain't always what it seemed to be. Words can't express what you mean to me. Even though you're gone, we still a team. Through your family, I'll fulfill your dreams. In the future, can't wait to see if you open up the gates for me. Reminisce sometime, the night they took my friend. Try to black it out, but it plays again. When it's real, feeling's hard to conceal. Can't imagine all the pain I feel. Give anything to hear half your breath. I know you're still living your life after death.
It's a Bruins Thursday. Mike Milbury will join us at 8:30 in about 20 minutes. 617 texter is concerned based on his track record that Wiggy guaranteed a Super Bowl victory for the New England Patriots.
I didn't guarantee one. I said this
during his lead this morning.
Good enough.
If you were not listening at 6:30, which is when we do our leads every morning, then you may have missed Wiggy being very effusive about the New England Patriots. I don't know that you guaranteed it, but you suggested that Bill and his unique ability to not put too much on his players like Mac Jones is what is going to lead this team to the promised land, correct?
And yeah, and when you look at the other teams and you start to look at the players and the coaches, more so the quarterbacks and the coaches and the dynamic and the relationship, I feel like you have the advantage in the coach and how that coach operates and the way he coaches his football team. Like, take the Pittsburgh Steelers, for example. You got one of their best players and Chase Claypool coming out and saying, you know what, I think we need to play more music at practice to kind of get guys going. And then you got Mike Tomlin who says, you play football and I'll deal with, you know, putting together the practice plan. Where when you look at Bill Belichick, you see how this guy coaches to his players. And even when he talked about Mac Jones, because that was the biggest nugget that I got out of your question, Courtney, is that we're only going to put on Mac Jones what we know and feel like he can handle. So when you look at a team and you go, okay, well, why aren't they letting Mac Jones off the leash, or why is the leash so short? Because this is what he can handle. Defensively, if a player can only handle so much, this is what we're going to put on his plate. When you look at these teams in the NFL, and especially during the playoff runs, a lot of these coaches are not willing to do that, and that's why they get bounced from the playoffs, is because of poor coaching jobs and not doing what they is best for the football team.
So do you think that's what's going on with Zach Wilson? They're giving him too much that he can't handle too quickly. And if and that's why you always bring up coaching, because if, you know, Mac Jones was in that type of situation, maybe he wouldn't be
Zach, Trevor,
as well.
We need you guys to win. We need you guys to do this. We need you. Our team stinks. You got to. And so now, and even I brought it to the comparison with Patrick Mahomes yesterday, is where Andy Reid will tell Patrick, because a lot of Patrick's issues this year are because of him not getting coached the way he should be getting coached. He's making mistakes because he thinks he can make every play and every throw.
Wiggy, if Zach Wilson were the quarterback of the Patriots, what would their record be?
if he was a quarter, I would say, what's their record now? 8-4?
8-4.
Yeah, that's, what's that, 12 games? They probably be.
Jesus Mary.
I'm trying to, listen, 7-5.
Oh,
seven,
my God.
7-5.
So Max only good for one more win. Okay. All right, thanks. That
maybe
was great.
Maybe two more wins.
Yeah.
I mean, Zach Wilson would be 7-5 with this team.
Yeah, or
is
or
he colorblind? He throws to the wrong team.
Or 6-6. Well, two games.
Here's a text, probably from Nick Wright, which says, "What fully healthy multi-team threat have the multi-threat team have the Patriots beat?" This is the argument.
Oh yeah, yeah.
This is the argument, but it's not just texters,
right?
Lou and Christian talk about they were. I was listening yesterday afternoon. They were talking about this. I mean, can you look at this Patriots team as you did this morning and say it's a team that can win a Super Bowl based on who they have and haven't played?
They demolished the Titans. I know they were down players. I know they weren't 100%. But the Titans, I mean,
they beat the Chargers.
All you have to see,
they did beat the Chargers out there.
Watch Red Zone for one day. The rest of the league is not great. It's not like past years. Like, the Patriots are 8-4, and people were right early on. The Cowboys loss, the Bucks loss. I mean, they have been in every game, and there's far more games they should have won than should have lost on that schedule.
And who is so dominant? Because I heard Christian and Lou talking that same thing. It's about who you play. But find me a team that you look at that has a winning record, and you go, oh, this team beat all good football teams.
Well, if you're
going to
look at the AFC, if you're going to look ahead, which it makes me so nervous to talk Super Bowl and playoffs before they get here. But wouldn't you say the Chiefs? Like who do you look at in the AFC and say, all right, this is going to be the team that is good? They're going to be there, right? Tennessee's getting Derrick Henry back.
I don't know about that. That's not confirmed, is it?
Yeah, that's.
I think they said. So the playoffs.
Here's Nick Wright's beloved Chiefs. Their wins. They have 7 wins. You beat the Cleveland Browns, team that the Patriots beat. You beat the Eagles. You beat the Washington football team. You beat the Giants. You beat the Packers without Aaron Rodgers. You beat the Raiders, and you beat the Cowboys. So when you look at their schedule, you don't look at it and go, oh, look at the teams they beat. They beat all, you know, the best teams in the NFL. This, and Curtis is right, man, and you know, I've been saying it since Jump Street. The way the NFL is, and I thought it was just in the AFC, but now I'm starting to see it's even like that in the NFC. It is wide open for the New England Patriots to not just get to the Super Bowl, but get there and win. It's wide open. There is no dominant team in the NFL. People always talk about they want parity in their sports. Is this not parity? There's like the Kansas City Chiefs. They're playing better now, but are they a team that you look at and go, they're so dominant? We don't see the Patriots of 20 years. We don't see that team that you go, you know what? Put them in the AFC Championship game, the New England Patriots, because they're going to be there. And then it's about the field. You don't see, even with the Kansas City Chiefs for that couple-year period, you don't even see that no more. Who was the dominant team in the NFL?
Oh, and Ken's lead this morning was that he's concerned about a lingering PTSD suffered by the Buffalo Bills fans if this turns out not to be their year when everybody suspected that this might have finally been their year.
They'll get a rematch in a couple weeks, so I guess even if the Bills lose, they have a chance at redemption this year. But if you lose both these games, this is your time. That could destroy the franchise.
And you look at Bills fans, I have a few friends that are Bills fans, and the light that was in their face for this whole entire football season, that this last couple of weeks has really dimmed here in New England, it's visible. You could see it on their face.
Yeah.
And the Bills' best win, I would say, looking at their schedule, was probably against the Chiefs early on in the season. And then, the rest of their wins you look at and you go, all right. And I think that's the thing you see with the NFL. And so when people like Christian or Lou, they say, oh, well, you haven't beat this one, you haven't beat that one. Guess what? The teams that you're supposed to beat, You know what you've been doing? You beat them.
You beat them, yeah.
What would Brian Hoyer's record be with this Patriots team?
Brian Hoyer's record wouldn't
and
be
with
very
Nick
good.
Wright, so he's saying Kansas City's so much better than the Pats, but okay, so he's going to look at that one game, the Dallas game that we went to overtime with. It's like, that's kind of...
He actually played them pretty...
Great. Right. That's what I'm saying, though. They won that, we didn't.
I know your answer, but what would the record of one Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence
I
be
think
on
they'd
this?
Be 8-4.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good.
Yeah,
we're making progress.
Mm-hmm. Justin Fields would be 8-4 this year.
Yeah, with the Patriots.
That is so insulting to Mac Jones. It's unbelievable.
Why is it insulting to Mac Jones? We went through their wins, and we're like,
we've made a little bit of progress because he's not suggesting that they would
be
10-2.
No.
So you think this team with Justin Fields could win a Super Bowl this year?
I would say, yeah, the way the team is built. I would say that.
Justin Fields. Wiggy just wants to draft Justin Fields.
He refuses to give one shred of credit to Mac Jones.
Well, I'm
to MJ10. One little tiny piece of credit to the kid.
So with
it's
nuts.
That MJ10.
Why is that?
Because when you
what is it about you? You can't give him any kind of credit whatsoever.
When you look at this football team, whether it's Trevor Lawrence, Mac Jones, Justin Fields, Justin Herbert, whoever else you want to throw into the equation. Kyler Murray, Patrick Mahomes.
Nope, not those guys. We're talking about the rookie class of quarterbacks.
All right, rookie class of quarterbacks. So, yes, you put those guys in this offense, and I think they are going to be just as successful as Mac Jones because of the way the team's built.
So you think they're all the same talent, all these guys?
No, I think it's about the team.
Right, I'm asking. You believe that they're all relatively the same talent?
I think that some of them skill set are better than others.
So then why would they all have the exact same outcome?
Because I still think they'd hit some bumps in the road, and you have a good football team. So maybe you're probably hovering all around the same record with, I believe,
it's amazing.
Trevor Lawrence.
I honestly don't understand how you can make that argument.
It's amazing to me, whether it's Wiggy or others, when they deny what Mac Jones has accomplished.
But why
so
am
far,
I denying
you have it? You have a rookie quarterback who has yet to lose on the road in the NFL.
Right. So why am I denying that?
Did anybody suspect day after the draft that that's what would be happening right now? No.
Greg, do you know what we talked about after the draft? And I don't think we mocked anybody because I think we all agreed, let's take it slow with Mac. Yeah. Don't put him against Brady. It might ruin him. I mean, we actually said those things.
No, it's like if Cam sucks, halfway through the season, then maybe get Mac Jones in there. Give him a shot.
He has had a mastery of this offense, which we saw last year is not easy to master. And he has been doing it since week one with all the eyes on him. I mean, to say that they all would have the same outcome.
It's about the team and the coaching.
Why draft any quarterback in the first round? Draft him in the fifth round. They're all going to get the same result.
So if Mac Jones was in Jacksonville, would he be the same or better than Trevor Lawrence?
But
answer the question.
Would he be the same, meaning what?
Record-wise.
With the Jaguars?
Yes.
No, you'd have a slightly worse record. But the issue with your thing
is
that
he had a slightly worse record than Trevor Lawrence. So that
no,
tells
not than Trevor Lawrence than
no,
here.
No, no, I
Wait,
said
is it because 508 texter heaven. Says that they there's several texters saying that your act is getting stale with regard
yes,
to Mac Jones.
Very stale.
However,
that's
this
a true statement.
this texter says it's because you give zero weight whatsoever to the intelligence level of a player making a difference.
What? Intelligence level. I never taken anything away from an intelligence level. But here's the fraudulence of
the
all
fraudulence,
this.
Wiggy, if I may, just very quickly.
Let me.
The situation here is what you do. It's deflect from any
it's
actual Mac talk.
I actually answer questions, unlike you. When you ask me, how would those other quarterbacks be doing here, Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields?
Yeah.
I said they have the same record because watching them in college, they were smart quarterbacks. Right? So you could sigh all you want. Their skill level is better, in my opinion.
Watching them in college, how many first-round picks have been busts that were great
lot,
college
a lot.
Players?
Oh, I have a list. I put it all together.
There's been a ton of them, and I would agree with that.
So quit sticking with that as your barometer.
But I'm using how much credit do you give the organization that Mac Jones was drafted in for the success that he's having on the field?
A lot of it.
What's a lot of it?
I don't know.
80%?
No,
90%?
It's not, no, it's not 80. It's not
60%?
80. If it were 80 or 90%, then Jared Stidham would be a great quarterback.
No, no,
great
because point, you still great. Have to have skill no. set. Mac Jones is a bet. Mac Jones has more skill than Jared Stidham.
Okay. Okay, let's go back. First round picks.
Oh, here we go. I know the list of first round picks.
If I'm not telling were, you, I'm telling
was,
the crew.
If it was 80% of the organization, Cam Newton would still be here.
Right.
No, but Mac has better skill than Cam Newton.
Oh, you said it. Thank God. You finally freaking said it. It's been a year.
We are not talking
Thank
about
God.
That.
Okay, we made a little bit of progress.
The fact that
he finally said it.
The fraudulence in all this is that you people instantly go.
What do you mean by you people?
The put Mac Jones in the Hall of Fame people.
Okay, mm-hmm. Nobody said that.
Listen. The fact that you
talk
said,
about being fraudulent, you just made up something.
I'm not making up something.
Okay, who said he's in the Hall of Fame?
That you would think.
You just said you answered the question.
Trevor Lawrence, the arguably they had to hit him as the third best number one overall pick ever. That if he was here, he would not be performing at the same level that Mac Jones would be performing at. That is an absolute fraudulent statement, and I say you guys are fraudulent. Of that because it's about Bill and Josh and what they've been able to do with Mac Jones. If you look at Mac Jones.
Who put him in the Hall of Fame,
if you look at Mac Jones this season.
He's saying I'm putting him in the Hall of Fame. I love Mac Jones.
If you look at Mac Jones this season.
We're all looking at him.
He's been very good at what he's done. But even Bill said it, we're not going to put more on his plate. They're not putting more on his plate. So stop anointing this guy and give the organization credit.
But do you give more credit to the organization than you do to Mac?
Yes. When it comes to the coaching, when it comes to the performance that this team is having this year, to me it's more about...
How much more?
I would say it's probably 75-25.
Okay.
All right.
I can't help that you don't like it.
No, you can't.
Okay, tell
you
me who put him in the Hall of Fame with you.
You cannot help that. We are going to get to Mike Milbury next. On a Bruins Thursday, but here is Cannon, what is trending.
The exclusive home of Red Sox baseball. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Add one very important thing to your next shopping trip to Shaw's, a flu shot. Free with most insurance, you can save 10% off your next grocery purchase. Up to $200, restrictions apply. Pharmacy visit for details.
I would love a flu shot. Hold the flu.
Rodney Harrison on the MFers yesterday. Always good. Always good. Interesting little J.C. Jackson nugget while we're on football to start trending.
What I'm hearing is he's probably not going to be a Patriot next year unless they franchise
him. I mean, I'm okay with that. I'm okay. He's done his thing. He had a lot of success. He contributed to our organization. Hey, keep it moving. Get paid and, keep playing great football.
That's more of a Fortier scoop than anything. He's hearing J.C. Jackson gone unless they franchise him, which I guess they could.
Yeah.
They're going to pay him $19, $20 million a year?
He's young, though. Bill pays guys that are in their late 20s. He doesn't pay the Gilmores. There's a chance he pays J.C. Jackson, right?
I don't know. He let Malcolm Butler walk.
Yeah, but that was in his 20s. We know there was something else going on there.
Okay, so I don't know. I don't think he's going to pay him. I'm with Christian on this one. I don't think he's going to pay him $19.
Just going to let him go.
Well, different Bill. I think he's going to pay him.
That's a lot of money.
I think it's a different Bill Belichick. Mm-hmm. I think he spent like crazy in the offseason.
On a bunch of guys, though.
Yeah, but he paid guys a lot of money. I mean, I don't think he's going to object to paying a young guy like that a lot of money.
You think he's going to pay him 100?
He did the original Gilmore deal and paid Gilmore a lot of money.
Do you think he's going to pay him over $100 million?
I don't know if he's going to go that long with it. Do you think he's going to... Jackson's going to have a five-year deal?
Yeah, he's going to want what he's going to want.
Why do these guys do five-year deals... When you know in 2.5 years he's going to demand to be paid the high, he's going to want to. I got to be the highest paid cornerback in the NFL. Why doesn't he do a 2 or 3 year deal?
Because
here?
The leagues don't own up to they don't live up to the contract reg. The owner can cut you at any time. You get new guaranteed money when you get a new deal, and that's why they do it that way.
And the league and the time of a player's average player being in the NFL is only 3.5 years. Ty Law said he sat here and talked about it. I might not be Deion Sanders, but I'm your Deion Sanders. So I'm your Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey got X amount of dollars a couple years ago. I'm the best corner in the NFL. In his mind, that's what his agent's going to sell. So I want 5 years over $100 million.
Tonight it's week 13, beginning Saints and Cowboys. We'll pick up Westwood One coverage at 8. Bruins at the Predators tonight at 8. Celtics win last night, and the Red Sox made some trade moves, a couple of signings and acquisitions right before the lockout began. Two familiar faces, Rich Hill and JBJ, Jackie Bradley Jr. coming back in a trade that sends Hunter Renfro to Milwaukee. Very interesting, plus a couple prospects back to Boston in the deal. It is very interesting. Castiglione loves Rich Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Also loves JBJ. He had to be busting last night.
Well, I understand. I mean, I understand the JBJ thing because you're looking at him when it comes to defense. I mean, if you looked at the Red Sox not getting to the World Series, was your main issue not pitching?
Turned out to be offense, actually.
Series. Ken's right.
The bats went
down.
By the way, Bloom said they could be in on a righty bat. Carlos Correa unsigned could still be in the plans. You never know.
In the plans when? Everybody's locked out now.
Oh, perfect.
What do you mean? In the plans in April?
Plenty of time to plan.
Hey, if you can do one thing before the lockout, you get the worst hitting outfielder in baseball. And my God, Heim got it done.
But it is about your pitching, though, Greg. You are right.
Yes.
Because your bats were hot, and then them going dead. It wasn't because you didn't have enough bats.
Well, I mean, do you even know what, no disrespect to the guy, love him to death, but do you even know what Chris Sale is going to be?
No.
He was looking pretty good. He was trending upward.
Really?
I think you feel good about Sale, yeah.
He had up and down.
His one playoff performance against Houston, right? He was okay. He went five innings or something like that? But well, I don't know what he's going to be. The only person I know what they're going to be is Nathan Eovaldi.
Yeah, he'll be there. Milbury will be here coming up next.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a Bruins Thursday.
It's the Greg Hill Morning Show.
Bruins Thursday here
on WEEI. Bruins Thursday on WEEI.
That's the reason Boston fans get skittish.
And it's time for the most feared hockey analyst in America.
That's good hamburger, but it's not steak.
Former Beast defenseman and head coach Mike Melberry.
They're a freaking mess. You make a comment about the great one and not be 100% positive. I needed a cup of coffee, to be honest with you.
Right now on the Greg Hill Morning Show.
Joining us right now from Old with an E Cape Cod on the Harbor One Hotline, it is our pal Mike Milbury. Mike, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing okay, guys. What's up?
Jake DeBrusque wants out of here. What can the Bruins expect to get for him?
That's an excellent question. I don't know the answer to that, but I would be patient enough to hang on to DeBrusque because he still has, you know, that quote-unquote potential to be a top six forward, I guess. And they're going to find the right partner that believes the same thing, and then hopefully they can come up with, you know, equivalent value, which is, for me, hopefully somebody that could play in the middle and maybe projects to be 2 or 3 years down the road as a second-line center.
So from a malcontent point of view, hanging on to him, you know, you're using him as a necessity because of Marchand. Is that an issue for the team if you hang on to him for a while to try to get the most value?
It could be, but, you know, he's not that big a fish that he's going to be a problem. It's not like Patrice Bergeron saying, I need to be traded. It's Jake DeBrusque, who's a, you know, 24-year-old, 25-year-old, whatever he is. It looks like he's trying to scratch at his potential, and now he's been targeted or placed in a third-line situation. Forget about Marchand for a second, that he might be moved up a little bit because that is a short-term fix for him, but he wants to play a much bigger role, and I don't blame him because he's shown that he can, at least on occasion, play that role. And now they've targeted him as a third line player, and he's got really a low ceiling, at least with the Bruins. But other teams may see a guy that can skate real well, has an ability to finish, and might project to be, you know, what the Bruins thought he would be, is a second line left winger.
So, with your experience, GM wise, coaching wise, is that? What, you know, some were critical of Donnie Sweeney on this program yesterday for that pick. Is that on the player? Is that on the organization when you get to a point like this? Which is it?
No, you know, sometimes just stuff happens. It just, you know, the fit isn't right. The expectation of the player or the team is different from one another. And, you know, you have to deal with those situations. They happen all the time. I mean, the fact that it's gone public is a little bit uncomfortable for people, but I think everybody can get over that. And eventually, you know, they're going to move this guy. They just have to be careful about making sure they don't give him away for nothing. And hopefully they can get some sort of value out of him that projects to be a need that they can fill.
My issue with Donnie or Cam or both of them is if he was that upset last season, which they've both sides have acknowledged he was, why not move him in the offseason? Why not move him at the end of the season?
Well, if you think you have something or you think you have a projection for this player that's going to be useful, you hang on to him. It doesn't matter if he wants to be there or not. Eventually, I mean, if it gets to be so bad, as it apparently has, then you have to take a different tack. But, you know, I remember, you know, trying to break into a Bruins lineup and being sent back to the minors and being really pissed off about it. But, you know, you get over it. You move on. You mature a little bit, and then you find a way to deal with the hand that you've been dealt. And hopefully, from both people's perspective, it works out in the end. In this case, it's clearly not going to work out in the end in Boston because he's gone public with it, and that's sort of the kiss of death. But they can hang in there for a little while longer, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Mike, when you look at this team, and we're talking about Cam and Sweeney, then you start to look at the coach Cassidy. This is his fifth year here. If they don't make the playoffs, do you think those guys start to say, okay, our window is already small, and it seems like there's a lot of issues going on with, you know, whether it's Taylor Hall, whether it's the Jake DeBrusque, whether it's, you know, moving Charlie Coyle all up and down the lineup. Do you think that they get to the point where, as if they don't make the playoffs this year, it's maybe Cassidy's gone?
I thought this guy has been a really good coach for them for a while. I don't think the problem is it's funny that you bring this up again because we've talked about it a couple weeks in a row now, but he is starting to implode a little bit. And I don't like the way that he's handling things recently, but I think he can probably adjust to this. But what they're going to have to do if they don't make the playoffs is they're going to have to totally rebuild this team. And that's going to take a lot of work, and it's going to take a lot of patience and a lot of time. And I think this has to come from the very, very top, from ownership and from Neely, that it's time to break this up, sell the pieces, and find out whether we can put it back together again, and how long will that take. It'll take a while, but I don't think they have to. You know, if you're a coach, you want some of the right horses, and right now he doesn't have the right horses, but his attitude seems to be to fire off bullets at some of his players publicly lately, and that's never going to work, especially if you're going to try a rebuild, which requires tons of patience.
So that's weird to me. So it's imploding if he dares to call a guy out because he's not, like in the case of Jake DeBrusk, he's not scoring, so then he can't participate elsewhere.
Run that by me one more time. What's the point of the question?
So you describe imploding as a coach who's holding his players accountable publicly?
Yeah, that's right, because that's an incredibly dangerous road to take. When you start screaming at your players publicly and putting them on the line, that means you've used every bullet in your gun to try to find a way to get this guy to move in the direction that you want him to go. And if you start embarrassing him publicly, that can really set off a lot of emotions within the locker room and within individual players, and cause tons of resentment.
So do you?
And
do
I
you,
think that'll happen.
Do you think it's possible that he is losing that locker room?
Well, clearly they're not playing particularly well, and he's trying to do things that he can do to shake the team up. And in my mind, yeah, he's putting himself in a position where he could lose the locker room.
Oh.
Is this a Cassidy thing for you, Mike, or is this all, like, when you were a coach, did you ever call any player out publicly? And how about some other guys?
I mean, we did. I certainly did, but it didn't make it a steady diet. When you use that as a regimen, you really are walking down this very difficult road. So I think he's got to change his tact here. But in the end, what's happening here is the identification of this team is not good enough talent-wise. So he's struggling to find a way to rattle the chain so he can get them going in the right direction. But I just don't think they're good enough to be more than what they are, which is a playoff wannabe.
Mike, when it comes to Brad's suspension, do you think it was warranted? We've had a little bit of a split on this show, whether the three games was warranted or if it just plays into his past behavior that he's tried and seems kind of frustrated about, that the league isn't understanding that he's changed.
You know, he's got nobody to blame but himself. He's, you know, whether he's licking faces or kicking people's feet out from underneath them, he's done it so often that, you know, he's guilty until proven innocent. And that's tough for him, but it's the bed that he made, and he's going to have to lie in it. I don't think it was that bad. I thought it was really sort of an afterthought. He made contact, and then the foot came out, and it looked worse than it was. I didn't think it deserved more than a game, if that.
I mean, I felt like it was a definite slew foot. I felt like he doesn't need to be doing it. I think he, you know, you lose him for three games. The guy, he's taken his game to a completely different level skill-wise. And doesn't he? I get it. He's lacking in size, and he always has been. He has to bring something else when it comes to that. But I felt like he did what he did. He didn't have to do it. He doesn't have to do it, and he's hurting the team when he does do it.
Well, you know what? It's such a fast game, and when you're in a collision with a guy like that, I mean, I don't know that he actually has time to, like, sort of, oh, geez, I'm going to slew foot this guy. I thought it looked like it looked incriminating, but it didn't look to me to be the kind of situation where he thought about it, put his hand on his arm in front of the player, which never happened, and then ripped him down. That didn't look that egregious to me, but so we disagree.
But do you
Screw
think
you.
That, do you think his reputation is too far gone? He can't do anything to kind of rehab it or get back to a point where people just respect his play. Anything he does,
I think people clearly respect his play. I mean, he's been an all-star and thought of any team in the league would want him on their roster. But he has done so many things to agitate the league and to tarnish the image of the sport that he's going to have to live with that. And so whenever there's a situation like this, which may be borderline or not, depending on your perspective, he's going to have to pay a higher price than he might otherwise. But that's the way the cookie crumbles.
Mike Milbury is our guest, and he is every Thursday on Bruins Thursday. Cam spoke very positively about Tuca the other night. Do you think that they are more so than they may have been a month or two ago, that they're now looking toward Tuca as coming back and being the goaltender here?
Listen, they're looking for answers. They're going to try to find some way to get this ship on a better path. And if it's Tuukka Rask, then I guess that's it. But, I mean, has anybody in your crew been overwhelmed by either Swayman or Ullmark so far this year? I probably guess not. No. And so why not take a chance on the guy that's got a proven track record? I'm not a, you know, Tuukka Rask is, I don't think he's going to answer all of your problems, but he's at least somebody that you could rely on in a position that's so critical. But now, again, here we're talking about Tuukka Rask publicly. How does that make Ullmark and Swayman feel? I would think not so good. And that's not a good place to be when you're trying to put your best foot forward on the ice.
Mike, it was an interesting point you brought up as far as, you know, if this team doesn't make the playoffs, the playoff wannabe, that they have to really reevaluate where they're going. Part of that reevaluation, and I know people are not going to want to hear it, but does that mean potentially trading a guy like Patrice Bergeron to see if you can get younger talent to rebuild?
Yeah, you're right to go there because, I mean, as much as you want to just honor Patrice Bergeron with ending his career in Boston, I mean, there comes a time where you have to think about the organization and not just the individual. And maybe you go to him and say, hey, you want to finish it up in Montreal? And when they did it with Ray Bourque, worked out for Ray, won a Stanley Cup and retired after that. And, you know, maybe that happens with Bergeron, although he's got one ring already. But you can't keep going down the same path here with the guys that are going to just be okay. Eventually, the fans are going to get rocky about it. They're going to get upset about it, and they're going to want to see a team that has the sense that they could go deep into the playoffs and maybe even win it. And right now, I'd be surprised if you found more than 10% of the people who are watching this team think that they can go deep or have even a remote chance of winning it.
Wiggy just inadvertently came up with a fantastic celebrity-themed restaurant concept, Patrice Bergeron. What do you think? Wouldn't that be
what for the Wahlburgers?
I would copyright that right now.
I'd be all over that for him
absolutely.
Right away. All right, Mike. Before you go, just to clarify, because it's an interesting direction you're going in. Bruce Cassidy in danger of losing the locker room, in your opinion?
Continues to use this as a tool, the verbal confrontation publicly. That's not the answer for coaching. That's really just, you know, it's taking an easy way out. Listen, you can be very critical. Oh, listen, it's not my fault. I'm doing all I can as a coach, but this guy can't back check or this guy can't score. That's like pointing a finger publicly. It's absolving yourself of responsibility. And that's not something that the players are going to tolerate. It just won't happen that way. He'll lose the room if he continues to do that. And, you know, holding a player accountable in the locker room is one thing. Holding a player accountable in the Globe or the Herald is an entirely different animal.
As always, great to talk to you, Mike, and we will talk to you next Thursday.
All right, you got it. See ya.
I'm Mike Milbury.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We'll be right back.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
I love Mike Milbury, but the suggestion that the Bruins would and should trade Patrice Bergeron may be the most ridiculous thing I think I've ever heard.
City would burn down.
Oh, wow. Why didn't you say that to him?
Huh?
Why didn't you say that to him?
Well, I'll say it to him next week. I wanted to hear him speak. Unlike you, interviewing the guest is not about what I say. It's about what the guest says.
Have some balls.
Right.
I think it was a great question. Whoever asked it.
Great job.
And then I think it was a great answer. Because if he's telling me, if this team doesn't make the playoffs, they're a rebuild team. Why are you rebuilding with a guy that you know is not in your future? And I know he's Patrice Bergeron.
A Hall of Famer who has played his entire career here and loves the organization.
Well, he brought up Ray Bourque.
That's why. Ray Bourque asked.
It's Bergeron. It's Patrice.
Ray Bourque asked to go somewhere where he had a chance to win a cup, and the Bruins graciously did that for him. That is a completely different situation.
So
there is not beginning to look a lot like Bergeron. Hey, Patrice.
I love Bergeron. It's Patrice guy from the old show. I hope he's still okay. Everything's good with him. Has there been a trade of that magnitude in this city that you can think of in the
Nomar
and the
Mookie.
Not the same.
Not the same. Mookie Betts.
Not the same.
What?
You Betts believe?
Yeah.
Mookie Betts was a player on the rise,
the World Series champion.
It's not.
Are you looking for shock and awe value, or because Mookie Betts is when you think about trading a young player versus trading a Patrice Bergeron, who is still a very talented player, but kind of at the finish line?
It's Bergeron. It's Patrice.
So what would you do, Greg? You are the GM.
If we were rebuilding, I would build around him, and I would have him arguably the most popular Bruins player of the last 15 years.
Right.
A guy who gave you a lung during the Stanley Cup playoffs. I would build around him, and I would do anything I could in my power to make sure that he finished his career.
You want to get a rise?
You're gonna get a rise out of Curtis right now.
Yeah,
Curtis.
Hi.
You hear this guy? You are gonna trade a guy that you had for the last 15 years, who's kind of feels like, all right, maybe he's only got a short window left.
Mm-hmm.
Greg does not want to trade him. Don't want to trade that guy. Curtis, you take the floor.
It's interesting because you seem to be all aroused over Mac Jones and McCorkle. in his performance so far this year and mock those that like Tom Brady. Yet you are trying to do the opposite with the Boston Bruins.
No, and wanted to get rid of a guy, right?
Tom Brady didn't want to be here. Body language indicated he didn't want to be here.
He was happy to get rid of a quarterback. I won't mention his name, but sure enough, he was all on board. Hey,
the guy went on his own. He couldn't stand it here. It wasn't fun anymore.
Why would you build a team around this guy when he's only got a couple years left?
I know, a short window. Very interesting. Very good idea. I mean, I think in practice it works well. Look at Tampa, but I don't know.
I don't know. Your suggestion is, because you're the one who brought it up.
Yeah.
So your suggestion to Donnie Sweeney, if he's listening right now, this team doesn't make the playoffs.
Right.
Then you trade Patrice Bergeron.
And get rid of Cassidy.
It's not my suggestion.
And buy the Penguins.
It's not my suggestion. I asked the question to Mike Milbury, who knows a hell of a lot more hockey than I do, even though I was a Beer League MVP, knows a hell of a lot more hockey than I do, said that if you don't make the playoffs, this team is rebuilding, and you could potentially get a lot of young prospects for this guy and send them to a place where they're a contender. Why would you not want to at least go to him and ask him and say, hey, listen, here's the direction we're looking to go in. What do you want to do? But you would build around him.
Well, I guess my heart says that the guy, how old is he? 30, how old is he? 36?
He is 36 years old right now.
My heart says that you want the guy to finish his career here as a Boston Bruin. I'm probably completely biased.
He'll be 37 next season.
But it's a sport where I would love to see that with it's Bergeron, it's Patrice, but maybe I'm a homer.
I mean, could you maybe see Patrice maximizing his final couple years on a team along Three Rivers by Allegheny River, the Pittsburgh Penguins? John Henry trades for Patrice Bergeron. Woo-hoo, baby.
They were just missing that piece, right?
Oh,
they
man, were Mario Lemieux.
They were 7-9 the year before, and they were missing that piece.
Get the hobo boats ready. Pittsburgh, you got a parade.
But no, honestly, Greg.
Gateway Clipper.
Honestly, you're Sweeney, you're Nailey. You guys are in rebuild mode. You don't make the playoffs this year, you're in rebuild mode. Mm-hmm. Patrice Bergeron is going to be 37 years old next season.
Mm-hmm. Dale just jumped. Oh, my God.
He's dealt with a lot physically. How much do you realistically think this guy could play and play at a high level for? Do we want to build around him?
He seems like a guy who is a Brady-like guy who could play for two or three more years.
Do we want
at the same level that he's at?
Do we want to build around him or get some younger talent in and do what New England is doing now and turning your franchise around, spending money in other places, and now you have a young, competitive team who's competing for championships, or keep a guy around and kind of we're doing the same thing that we've done for the last 10 years, which is be, like Mike Milbury said, a wannabe playoff team or one and done.
I don't think texters are suggesting that he's a free agent after this year, so you have to trade him now.
You got to trade him at the deadline.
Mm-hmm. Hurry up, John.
Or you don't re-sign him.
So the playoffs making the playoffs has nothing to do with it.
Okay.
So are you suggesting that prior to the deadline, this Bruins team would trade Patrice Bergeron? Because that's the only way you can do it. Because you're now, you brought it up with Mike Milbury.
Yep.
You brought it up before anyway.
Yeah.
It seems like heresy to me when you say it.
You know what? Even though it hurts people, because if you don't think this team can win a championship this year and they're not a championship caliber team with Patrice Bergeron, then why not? Why not start the rebuild now?
So we disagree. Screw you.
Heartless.
It's not heartless.
Heartless.
Gregory, it's a business.
That's what you told me. It was a business.
I have told you that it was
a business. You traded Spaz for Shoe. I mean, how'd that go?
You say 36, though, and I was even taken aback by that because I thought that, you know, I knew he was in his 30s. He's been here 15 years. So it makes sense when you run the numbers. But 30, he doesn't seem like a 36-year-old hockey player. Like when he's on, he's unbelievable, and he's the leader of this team. That's why I think a lot of people will be upset. Then who do you look to?
Right, but if you're rebuilding,
here's a 617 text that says, "Right, Wiggy, let's get rid of Marchand while we're at it. How about we trade Wiggy?" That's what a 617 text.
Well,
says.
I mean, if you want to, all right. Tech. So if you want, okay. So here's the deal: you don't trade him. He's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. What are you re-signing him to? 3-year deal?
He'd probably take less money to be here.
I'm not saying whether he's taking less money.
Yeah, I signed him to a two-year deal.
Okay, sign him to a two-year deal.
You might as well keep him through Marsh's contract. I mean, that's your window, right?
Yeah.
As long as Marsh is going to play.
Well, how many years Marsh got left?
Through 2025, 3 years.
3 years. But now, like Milbury said, you're basically doing what you've been doing for the last 5 years.
Yeah, I can't imagine that scenario happening. Hello, Tyler.
Hey, how's it going, Greg?
What's up, Tyler?
I just wanted to talk to Wiggy and find out. So you think that Bergeron's done because he's 36 years old, but Jaromír Jagr played well over 40.
No, I didn't say he was done, Tyler. I'm just going based off what Mike Milbury said. If you're a rebuilding team, you don't want to have guys and rebuild around guys that only have 3 years left. That's what Milbury said. And maybe you could get a lot for him. I mean,
do you in your heart believe that Patrice Bergeron only has 3 years left? Or do you think that another team's going to sign him and he's going to play like Chara, you know, till 40-something and be an absolute stud and Bruins lose him? And,
Chara's,
you know, now we
stud,
look back
though.
Going.
I don't think Chara's – I think Chara had fallen off when he was here. So if you're telling me Bergeron's your third or fourth line center and he's like a good locker room guy – all right.
I mean, if you're going to blow it up, as Wiggy and I guess Mike Milbury are sort of suggesting, because it's a rebuild, wouldn't the trade bait be Marchand?
You better get a haul, and you would get a haul.
Yeah, you'd get a haul. I mean, that you'd get a haul.
So why aren't you suggesting that?
Because I think Marchand is still – he's a guy, him and Pasta, you could still build around for the next 5, 6, 7, 8 years. Can you do that with Bergeron? 6, 7, 8 years.
Would you include Sophia in any of these trades?
No, she's tremendous.
See? They don't need Zdeno Chara.
Wow. This is Joe. Hello, Joe.
What's up? You literally just brought up what I was going to get at. You drop down Bergeron to a lower line, preferably the second line to help out Hall, considering they don't have a consistent sentiment. And you trade Marchand, if anybody, and you look to fill in that first line center and wing position. That's the haul, is Marchand, not Bergeron.
All right.
But do you look at this team as being in a rebuild at this point?
I don't see them as in a rebuild right now. No, I mean, I think the team is good. I do think that there's something going on where they're not gelling and not playing the way they need to. But if you're going to make massive changes in the offseason because they don't make the playoffs, Marchand is the way to go, not Bergeron.
Wow.
All right. I mean, I like what Joe's talking about. So now if you want to move him down to the second line and you get a haul for Marchand, and who knows who that sentiment is that can play on the first line alongside Pasta. But you have to ask yourself, Milbury is a tremendous guest and brought up a great point. If this team is not a playoff team and your core is basically the guys that have been around here for the past 10 years, mm-hmm. when do you start to say we need to either rebuild or retool in a different way, and we might have to make some tough decisions with guys that might be a little bit older like Bergeron or a guy like Marchand who could get us a ton.
This is Matt from Wilmington. What's up, Matt?
Hey, so Sweeney screwed this up. Tuukka Rask and David Krejci, where are they? Lost them for free. Those are the guys you should have traded and got some prospects and got some players back instead of being in this situation and thinking Jake DeBrusk was going to develop into somebody or Trent Frederick is going to develop into somebody. Should have traded these guys and got something back. Instead, David Krejci's in Europe and Tuukka Rask is skating around in your rink for free.
Man, you didn't even pay him for ice time.
Who's paying for that ice time? The Bruins, and Tuukka Rask is over here practicing. He could sign anywhere for all that matter. Who cares if he comes back? He'll probably get sick in the playoffs anyway.
Right. Tuukka's like LB, just goes to the rink to get his skate sharpened. You know that story from the old show.
No, come on.
Claude, LB used to go get his skate sharpened for free at the Bruins facility. That's and classic. Finally, Claude is like, who is this guy? Get him out of here. Why is he always showing up here? Why are you
if
guys
they trade Patrice Bergeron, the Garden will get struck by lightning.
I can't imagine it. Can you imagine it?
No.
So what
literally
do you do?
Throw up and die.
So if you're rebuilding, what do you do then?
See? They don't need Patrice Bergeron.
Whoa! Damn.
He said they don't need Patrice? Can you play that again? Dale said that?
See? They don't need Patrice Bergeron.
Sounds edited to me. That sounds
sometimes
edited
I can't
to me,
believe
Ken.
We get paid for this.
Ken, you're doing him dirty with that.
Dale here.
Oh, Ken's the hockey
move.
Guy.
Well, suck a move.
Well, he said it. Listen, Dale, what did you say about Patrice Bergeron?
I can't stop.
Ken's the hockey guy. Ken.
I just can't imagine a moment that we are talking on this show about Patrice Bergeron being traded from the Boston Bruins, where he's played his entire career.
I don't think he would accept it. He's got a no-trade clause. He would probably veto it, right? I don't think he is the Ray Bourque type that he needs a cup and would go somewhere else to do it as a rental. Who knows?
Yeah, but I don't think. Oh, you mean needs another cup?
Yeah, another. He's got one.
Yeah,
Ray
he's
didn't.
Got one. He's got one. This is Tom. Hello, Tom.
Hey, how are you?
What's up?
Hey, listen, I think you guys are off base on a lot of things with this. It's not even about who they trade. They have to get rid of the owner because that guy does not want to win a Stanley Cup. He only wants to sell stuff at the concession stands. It's been being put on. We've been jerked around all the way back 25 years.
Sure.
We're not going to win. We got lucky 5 years ago. Not going to win until we have someone that really wants to win the Stanley Cup like Milt Schmidt. That's all I got to say.
Lucky. 10 years ago.
Milt Schmidt drop.
Yeah. Henry tried to buy the Bruins, and Jacob was like, nah.
Hey, didn't the Sox sign Milt Schmidt yesterday?
Oh, there was a report they tried to buy the Bruins first and were rebuffed.
Oh, yeah, and that report just happened to come after John Henry was getting some heat for buying the Penguins.
Yeah, and went away very quickly after.
And then Mike Milbury, wasn't he like a coach and like front office guy in the NHL?
Yes.
Yeah, he was a GM of the Islanders.
He would know better than anybody.
Did he do the DiPietro deal?
Yes, he did.
Oh, we should not have him on. That is the dumbest move in hockey history.
Yes.
That was a long deal, 12 years.
Jesus. All right. Tomorrow. Oh, Devin McCourty at 6:30 on a Patriots. Wait, is tomorrow Friday?
Yes.
I'm correct about the days, right? Yeah, mm-hmm. Patriots Friday tomorrow. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.